CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Ink Studs Radio Fun Hour. I am joined today by Ed Brisson. Did I pronounce it right, Ed?
Kind of.
Colleen McIsaac.
Hey!
And Jordan F. Bachon.
Yes!
Yay! And today we're going to talk about You Ain't No Dancer, Volume 2, The Youth Issue, an anthology put together by New Reliable Press, Mr. Ed Brisson. Do you want me to say Brisson or Brisson?
Brisson would be preferable.
Okay, Ed Brisson. I'm trying to start fights today. Hopefully someone will hit me at one point in the show. So tell us about starting to put together You Ain't No Dancer, and more specifically the latest issue, and why do you want to publish this, and tell us about yourself, Ed.
Well, I guess with this issue, I'd have to go back to the first issue. And I sort of wanted to publish, I guess, since I was about 18, so that's about 13 years ago. I actually started a publishing company way back when, publishing superhero stuff, which was what I was into back then. It failed miserably. I didn't have any sort of business sense or know what I was doing. And then I guess about a year and a half ago, late 2004, we were talking, so that's 2 years ago, we were talking about publishing an anthology, and I sort of, that got rekindled, and I had decided to start New Reliable Press, and I thought the easiest way to sort of enter into publishing was to do an anthology, which is not necessarily true, but it's a way to get your name out there, I guess, because you can draw a lot of names into the book, and, you know, just a way of getting the publishing company out there, which is kind of what the plan was.
Now, this second one is getting a little more recognition than the last one. There's more buzz building.
You know, actually, I would say it's not necessarily...
No?
I'd say the first one, when it came out, just because there were so many anthologies coming out in 2005. When I started putting together You Ain't No Dancer 1, there wasn't... I think there was one other anthology that I knew of out there, so...
Then now there's Kramer's Ergot.
Well, Kramer's Ergot's been around for years. But, like, The Flight, I think I started putting this together just before or just right around the time Flight came out. I can't even remember if I knew about Flight at the time, but then all of a sudden, it's just, like I said, there's just been a huge influx of anthology. So now, I wouldn't say putting on an anthology is a great move. But so there was a lot of buzz just because, you know, there were fewer anthologies, I think. And there were some people in there who were starting to get recognition on their own as artists. And so that gave a lot of buzz to the first one.
Now, some of those names include the awesome cover by one of my personal favorites and a favorite of the show's, Dave Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get Dave Cooper on board?
I emailed him.
You emailed him?
Yeah, it's that simple sometimes.
Oh, my God. You bastard. No, I'm a huge Dave Cooper fan. Now, You Ain't No Dancer, why the choice of the title? It's a really odd...
When I was probably about 16, I come from like a long sort of... I have a long history myself of doing zines and like mini comics. This is probably since I was...
And Sob Story was your last epic, right?
Sob Story I actually started doing way back in like 1994 as an autobiographical mini comic. And... right around the time actually I was doing that, I think 95, 96, I decided to do an anthology in Kelowna when I was living down in Kelowna. It would be a local artist, my friends. And it was called You Ain't No Dancer because at the time I was absolutely obsessed with the Beatles. And it's a line from Helter Skelter, in case you didn't know.
We should have. Why didn't you bring that song?
I'm sure you guys have it here, maybe. I don't know.
I'll find out on the next musical break.
Well, there we go.
Do you like the Beatles, Radar Friends?
Yes.
Yeah.
Colleen Jordan.
Or you can check, there's a Motley Crue version. Not as good, but you could.
That might be easier to find.
Shut It the Devil. I think it's like third or fourth track. Anyway, back. I digress. So that never came out, and that was sort of one of those things. Back then, when I was putting together mini-comics, you know, if I was working on something, it always came out. And You Ain't No Dancer, the sort of photocopy anthology, never actually got completed. It was really close. I actually had the covers printed by a printer. Had everything, but it just never came out. So calling this one You Ain't No Dancer was a way of me adding a little bit of completing that.
It's a circle of life has been completed.
Correct.
Now I'm going to start singing something from The Lion King, but, you know, I don't want to bleed ears. Now, the reason I brought Colleen and Jordan here is because you both have something in the new volume 2 of You Ain't No Dancer. Colleen's story is a fun kind of Halloween-esque, perfect timing, Perhaps.
Coincidentally.
Coincidentally. Yes. Do you want to tell us about your story in You Ain't No Dancer?
Well, it's one whole page, and it's in that page summarizes a story from my own childhood wherein two of my friends, when I was in grade 5, decided to dress up as the same thing for Halloween. I don't know if I want to ruin the surprise ending, but...
it's a good story.
When by the time you get to the end of the page, just like...
Now
everything
this,
flips.
Did you purposefully have this story in mind? Like, I don't know, how did you both get involved with Mr. Ed over here with doing the thing for You Ain't No Dancer? Did you say, hey, I want to be in your next anthology? Or, Ed, did you go, hey, I want you guys in my next anthology?
He basically has a call for submissions. So, and we knew him by this point a little bit more by going to the jams and living in Vancouver, so.
Going to the Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
And I'll remind everyone that this Sunday at Heritage Hall, there is a Comic-Con with the special guests are Steve Rolston, Michelle Gagné, and Ed Brisson from New Reliable Press.
Woo-hoo!
The Radar Friends.
Yes.
And that shifty sonar gang.
Yeah, what's the deal with them?
We'll get into that later. A little troublemaking. So, putting together volume one, we'll shift back to that. Some of the challenges, some of the interesting things putting together, because it's a new project for you. It's a really taking on a bigger thing than just photocopying and tossing it out.
Well, yeah, the challenges were, A, getting the people involved, which is a bit of, was a bit of a hassle, and then sort of juggling 23 different personalities, you know, from people who don't respond to emails when they've missed a deadline, and all that sort of stuff. And then dealing with a printer, even in dealing with a printer, it's if you are going to go to print, it's very important to have everyone will tell you, a good relationship with the printer. And, you know, I had some misinformation from the printer that I went through from someone who no longer works there, which in the end caused a couple of minor printing errors, I guess. But just putting it together, you know, it's just learning how to sort of network and get in touch with all the indie-friendly stores who may or may not carry your book. And, you know, just everything. Everything's first. It's your first time out, so it's kind of nerve-wracking. But this is now my third book with the second one, and I think I've got a lot of the. I'm a lot better. If I knew what I know now, back then,
it would be more epic.
Well, not that it would be more epic. I would have probably lost less money. I would have probably printed fewer copies. There's a million different things, you know, that I would have done differently, and would have made it better. But you know, that's what you do. You learn.
If you live
to the next.
You learn. You try. You burn. I'm starting to sing Atlantis Morissette, aren't I? Is that what I was singing? Now, You Ain't No Dancer, it's an odd format. Why the choice?
Oh, that was strictly so that I would stop people from submitting something they'd already done. I wanted all new material. So I even for the second one, I'd rejected, first and second, I rejected material because I found that people had published it elsewhere. It had already been available. But I did the format because it's such a weird format that nobody normally is going to be drawing in that format. So none of the submissions that I got were, you know, stuff that had appeared elsewhere. Even with the format on there, I had people submitting stuff that didn't fall into that format that I had seen elsewhere, even though I had asked for just strictly new
material.
Specific
format. Now, you tried to do a bit of a balance between web and print comics, I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of web stuff. Is that important for you to try and expose some of that other stuff for people to check out? Is it like, are you trying to expose people to stuff, or is it just, I have a certain thing in mind, and this is what I want the book to look like?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. Can you guys actually hear me? I'm sure that I can't hear. Okay, perfect. For me, like, web comics is just the same as doing mini comics 10 years ago. Like, people are still doing mini comics, but, you know, it lets people have that. So I don't really see much of a difference between web and mini comics. So just if something's good, then I want to put it in, and that's it. You know, and a lot of people are putting their stuff on the web because it's so easy to do and inexpensive.
I'm going to throw a question over to the ladies. For both of you, normally you publish your own mini comics as the Radar Friends. And so you submitted stories. So actually, we should talk about your story a little bit, Jordan. tell about your piece?
Mine's basically my own way of expressing how I remember certain memories from my childhood, and in particular, this is Michael Redhead, someone that me and my cousins knew. He was kind of a troublemaker, and it's just like how memories from childhood are very fragmented, and that's basically what it is.
Well, I enjoyed it. Was it different for two of you putting together a story specifically for this? Like, were you trying to do something different from your own work that is in Radar Friends? Or when you approach it, was it different because you know, well, I'm trying to submit this into something instead of me just doing what I want and just photocopying it myself? Or is that just too long a question?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Actually, that's the what's in the book is actually my second idea for this book. My first one didn't come off as well, so.
Was it rejected?
I try and be tough as an editor.
I agreed.
I try and give good feedback. I don't want to be a jerk, but I always try and give good feedback. And I think the story's good, the one here, so.
Yeah, I think the first one was a little convoluted and almost too personal, like, so I don't think it came across so well. It was about my dead cat.
Oh, I'm sad now.
It's kitties. Actually really funny.
I'm gonna play a song now. I feel awkward. The funny dead cat. What are we playing next? This is Kate Bush.
Babushka.
Okay, Inkstead, CITR 101.9 FM. If you have a question for any of my wonderful guests, 604-822-2487, CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
To fool him, she couldn't have made
Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstud Show. I'm joined by the Radar Friends and Ed Brisson. Well, not the Radar Friends. Colleen McIsaac and Jordan McCon. We don't have... McCon. Do I pronounce it horribly?
Well, that was very similar to Lecon, and I like that, I guess.
Leprechaun?
No. It's just Beauchamp. Bastardize it with your English tongue.
Beauchamp. They're both wonderful creators, part of a collective. Emily Carr students putting together awesome comics and noticing a great development in both of your artwork. It's interesting. You came on the show back in January, was it?
I think so, yeah.
And just interesting seeing the development of both of your artworks. It just blossoms so much. What do we have to look forward to in the near future from Colleen and Jordan?
Grad films.
3 to 5 minute animated short, which is our graduation requirement at Emily Carr, due in April.
I hope it brings money in the door so I can pay the government back.
Oh, who wants to pay the government back?
Well, the government murders people. They cover it up, but ever wonder where you're like, low-rate sausage comes from?
I thought it was cow intestines and hooves.
Oh, well done.
Save on meats?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I like Save on Meats.
Yes.
I get all my meat there.
Are you serious?
I used to.
Who worked there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
We heard some terrible things.
Oh, I want to hear some Save on Meats stories. You want to hear some Save on Meats story, Ed?
I'm not. No.
No.
There's a reason I'm a vegetarian.
Boo Earns. So, were there you have a lot of like mix of names, male, female, a really good balance. Was that purposeful? And you ain't no dancer?
No, I don't like.
You're not going out there like, I gotta get another girl to draw a comic.
Yeah, I don't particularly like doing that. I just wanted to have good stuff in it. And one of the things I did with this the second one that I didn't do with the first is I wanted. First one, you know, I've gotten to know a lot of people in there. With the second one, I wanted some people I knew to be in there as well. And with the first one, I was sort of very strict because I had one of the things with the first one is that a lot of the local people.
Everyone local submitted something?
They submitted stuff, but submitted it based on the fact that because they knew me, they were guaranteed to be in, which kind of sucked because I was trying to put together what I thought was the best. And maybe their work didn't always fall into that. And I'm pretty sure that for a portion of 2005, that I was probably one of the most hated people in comics in Vancouver amongst comic artists because of that.
I've heard begrudging, but I don't begrudge you, but I don't do comics.
Amongst those who submitted, I guess I should say, because unfortunately I didn't run anything from anyone who submitted just because... You know, I had better other material, I guess.
Well, I think that's interesting, like, a certain sense of entitlement that people have, but they're not really paying for this thing to be printed up, so why should they expect...
Well, that's kind of the thing, is I'm on the hook for about $5,000, you know, so I gotta make sure that friggin' thing can walk out the door when it goes to comic shops and that they'll be able to move them, and... You know, I had the same thing kind of when I was making films where I would always actually refuse to cast my own friends in my films, you know, just because I find that when I was doing that and with the anthology, it's, you lose any sort of sense of objectivity, you know, so.
Yeah.
But the second one, I tried to rectify that a little bit, and I have quite
like
a few.
You have the...
How many Vancouver people? Like 5 or 6.
And you got Dalton.
I'm looking at you guys like you picked.
Who did you pick? Do you have any favorite stories in there, any of you? Of the three of you?
I really like Meg Hunt's.
Yeah.
It's very pretty.
I think Meg Hunt's, and I liked Weather Lad as well. Speaking of local
Ben, contributors. The man that does a comic once every 3 years. Actually got something in there. I was very impressed by him putting together a comic.
He's a scholar.
A scholar and a gentleman.
And Phil McAndrews, too. I'm just looking at it here again.
It's an awesome comic. Where can you purchase said You Ain't No Dancer?
You can get it. You should be able to get it from just about any comic shop that carries independent stuff. Locally, I know for sure you can get it at RX. I believe that every comic shop
does. Lucky's have it.
I believe so. I haven't been in there to see. It just came out, and I've been sort of
commissioning. You should go up and take a look.
Well, I've been doing a lot of conventions and stuff, so I actually have had no, I've had no Ed time. It's been all convention time. It's like weekends I'm at convention, I'm back at work, and then, you know, I'm back at Maple Ridge. So I haven't had a chance to go to any stores, but I'm actually planning on hitting Lucky's this weekend and a few other stores. And if they don't have it, then I will arm wrestle them into submission until they do take it.
And I'll remind people that CITR has the Friends of CITR card, which you can get for $15, which gets you a discount at Lucky's and RX Comics.
So. Wow. Ooh. Holy cats.
And Zulu and Scratch and all sorts of other places.
Who listens to music? It's all about comics, right?
Boo to music. We're just going to stare at pretty pictures for the whole hour. I have
the page is turning. Yeah.
That kind of sounds like a zipper.
Yes.
Now the show has gone awkward. I also...
Do you mean now?
Yeah, it's been giving me that weird stink eye the whole hour or half hour.
I feel a tension, but maybe it's a sensual tension.
A sensual? Is there such a thing as a sensual
tension? Oh, yes.
We did share a bed in Bethesda.
We didn't, did we?
We shared a bed one night, Ed.
Oh, jeez.
There was also 8 other men in that same room.
That's true.
Bucci slept on the floor.
Comic book lust.
It's a cheap way to roll with cons. 8 people to a room. Tell them there's 2. Get 8 people in there. It's cheap.
Then there's me, who the next day gets my king size bed to myself. That's how I roll.
Yeah, but you missed out on getting sick and everything.
No, I did get sick. I got sick
by
myself.
You obviously missed out on all of the spooning, too.
Yes.
No, trust me. I had my own chair spooning with Ed.
Did you hear about Bougie? I apparently, in the middle of the night when we were in Stumptown, tried spooning with Bougie. And, he decided to try pushing me away using his ass.
Oh, Robin Bougie.
It's probably not the best way. That's where that story ends.
That's a little awkward. Good times. I just have one little announcement to make. I don't know if you guys know this, but this is the 1-year Inkstud's anniversary. Hooray, hooray.
Yay!
I've been doing this for a year now, and so far it hasn't sucked, has it?
It's pretty good. This is
It's like...
Yeah, it's all right. Whatever.
It's all right.
Whatever. You'll get better.
Oh! Well, last week I did have Ralph Steadman as a guest, and some upcoming guests this month include possibly Joel Oldman next week. He did a nice book called Chewing on Tinfoil and has another book coming out soon called This Wall and in Tears. And he's doing a book launch at the Helen Pitt Gallery on the 11th, Saturday the 11th, coming in from Montreal. Something to check out. And then the 2 weeks after that, first on the 16th, I'll be having Jaime Hernandez from Love and Rockets. The following week, Beto Hernandez. I sound so white saying this, don't I?
A little white.
And then the week after that, on the 30th, I will be joined on air by none other than Mr. Ivan Brunetti.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I'm a little verklempt, a little excited. All sorts of great people.
Is he coming in to
Vancouver? Oh,
dang.
Maybe I'll talk him into coming to Vancouver to come and, you know, take antidepressants with me or something. I don't know. He's one of my favorite creators, and I really think everyone should check out his new book. Was it The Masters of Comics?
I don't know. Check out Schizo.
Schizo number 4 is out, and it's awesome. Now we're going to play, begrudgingly so, some U2. We tried to get some version of Helter Skelter, and this will be it. Let's try it out.
This is a song Charles Manson stole from the Beatles. We're stealing it back.
Yeah. dancer.
Sorry.
Whoa.
Whoa! That was you two doing Helter Skelter and...
poorly.
Well, it's you two. The only you two thing I like is a Negative Land song about them. That's really good. It's got Casey Kasem on there and talking about some dead dog, and it's a good track. I recommend checking it out.
Okay, I'll be okay. Sure not to.
You guys are so quiet today. It's like someone put Quaaludes in the... coffee or something.
Quaaludes.
Dude, I put them straight in my mouth.
I went out as Hunter S. Thompson on Saturday night for my Halloween. I was tempted to bring around a bottle of Tylenol Cold and Flu, the caffeine coating ones, to hand out to people because I was Hunter S. Thompson, but I realized that would be a disaster.
Tim Carpenter would really like to hear that. And now he has.
Now he has. Who's Tim Carpenter?
Thanks.
He's a cool guy.
Told to drop his name on the show.
Dropped this name. Let me pick it up off the floor.
Because I promised my friend Tavis that I'd drop his name, and I haven't done it yet. Just now.
I wouldn't say drop. I'd say shout out.
What?
I full on dropped it.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. There we go. Colleen, anyone you want to say hi to?
Yeah, no, but I will mention that Tim Carpenter is a member of the Sonar Gang.
Oh.
So there is a connection there.
Are you guys ever going to have a throwdown? Because before you guys leave, I need to see a throwdown between the Sonar Gang and the Radar Friends. Like a full-on fist fight.
Well, in some ways, there is a throwdown, but I don't know if I should say it on the air.
No, I want to hear it.
Yeah, no, I want to hear it.
No, you got to tell.
This is gossipy.
Well, a portion of the Sonar Gang is going out. With a portion of the Radar Friends.
Oh, my God.
Awkward.
No, seriously, at the con this Sunday, I want to see someone toss over someone else's table.
We usually share a table.
So that's like eight people
at one
table. Be sure
to move your stuff before you toss the table over.
Okay.
Is it like, you know, sticking like people in a telephone booth? How many comic artists can you fit behind one table?
Yeah, gets pretty crowded. Especially on days when everyone's tired and y'all just want to sit.
I kind of would like to get into a fist fight, though.
Do you want to go?
Let's go.
You guys are always tired, though, aren't you, at the cons? Because, like, every time it's like,
I stayed up
till 6 o'clock drawing my comic.
Yeah. I remember stapling last one,
someone
table.
Was still inking it in the middle of the convention, weren't they?
Yeah, I gave up.
Do you guys have new minis we'll see on Sunday? I know Colleen just, for the last con, had the Penelope... Oh, I just almost belched on the microphone. Penelope and Abacus and Home, the little mini book with birdies in it.
Yeah, that's probably the last, theoretically the last new stuff I'll have out until my grad film, although that's probably going to be a lie, but nothing for this con.
When will we see this infamous grad film?
Well, our external grad show has been booked for May 11th and 12th at the Van City Theater, 2007.
It's going to be amazing. History in the making, basically.
What? Do you want to give us a little sneak peek at what we can expect for the grad films? Topics? Intrigue?
I'm using...
Tension?
Finnegan from... I did like a one-shot comic with him back when we did Blue, the Radar Friends.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's that, only it's kind of crazy. It's about isolation, and there's blood and pee-pee in it.
Pee-pee. We don't say words like that on the air here.
The radio police are going to come and get us.
We say urine, as in you're in trouble.
Save me from myself.
And... will we ever see any more? I guess we won't see any more of the Radar Friends compilations that the group puts together, the five of you in one book.
Hopefully. hopefully. Who knows?
I'm just so busy with school.
Are you guys all heading back east after school is done?
I don't know. I don't want to think about it.
Because you're going like way east.
Yeah, I'm going to Halifax, but
Halifax.
And I think Kaylee's going to Japan potentially for a while, and then Kim and Heather are not going to be graduating until 2008.
What? 2008. They're young. I guess it's only you younger. It sounds like it's 2 years away almost. You know, if it you is. Really think about it.
It is. Yeah, I'd say 2 years. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to play that Belle and Sebastian song now. What was it called again?
Whiskey in the Jar.
Whiskey in the Jar. What album is it from?
I don't know. I think it's actually a cover.
Oh. Well then. Inkstead CITR 101.9 FM. We will be back with Colleen and Jordan and Mr. Ed Brisson to talk about You Ain't No Dancer, Radar Friends, and maybe we'll talk a bit about fun stuff. I don't know.
Jaro.
Okay, you done talking, Ed? CITR 101.9 FM. I am joined by Ed Brisson, publisher of New Reliable Press, with their new book, You Ain't No Dancer, Volume 2, out in stores now, as well You Ain't No Dancer, Volume 1. I think stores were given a special deal if they ordered a bunch of one, a bunch of two. They got some ones, right?
That's on the QT.
Oh.
That's strictly for merchants only.
Yeah, that's
on
what
the
I mean.
DL. Yeah. That's part of, you know, just
that's
trying
not a
to
secret.
Just trying to merchandise. You know, I have a lot of number ones. I overprinted number one because it was my first book by a great deal. So I offered a little buying incentive for stores.
See, that's what I was thinking, just more promoting more because there's great stuff in the first one that's not in the second one.
It's great, but, you know, just from a strictly a merchandising standpoint, you know, I have extra stock, and then, you know, I can offer them a buying incentive. If they buy X amount of You Ain't No Dancer 2, they get free copies of number one.
Now, your other book that you published is True Loves by our friend,
yes,
Mr. Jason Turner.
And
Manin
Botma.
Jason, the hardest drinker in Vancouver comics.
Woo!
Woo for drinking. Is there any other books you're planning to do with New Reliable, or is it all?
You know what? I've been looking at books for 2007. I don't have anything on deck right now. I have been approaching some people, but there's been this mass sort of scooping up of talent in the industry or in comics recently. With there's a few comic publishers that are backed by book publishers coming out.
Yeah,
and they've been scooping people like crazy. I've talked to three people. I'm not gonna give any names or publisher names, but yeah. I've talked to three people and all got scooped already by the same publisher.
I know that Tokyo Pop was bought by Random House, weren't they?
It's not Tokyo Pop.
I know, but that's an example of a book publisher.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. The whole manga industry or manga or whatever is
mangy.
That's a whole different beast, you know, from just regular comic publishing.
Do you have any comic stuff you're going to be working on again?
I'm working on, of all things, a superhero book right now.
Superhero
book? I'm writing a 6-issue miniseries for a superhero book.
Wow.
I know. It's pure good.
Pure goodness?
Pure good, yes.
I've seen some of the pages. It looks good.
Yeah.
Maybe show me some.
Yeah, that's right. Did I show you some of the pages or just some of his portfolio?
I think,
from the artist?
I can't remember if you showed me pages or portfolio. You showed me something. Probably his portfolio.
Okay. His stuff's good.
Yeah, it doesn't suck. Oh, no, it was good. I really did. I'm trying to start a fight. No one wants to fight me on air.
Biff.
Biff Pow. Some Amanatopoeia. Is there anything you guys have been enjoying? You want to talk about comics? What have you been... Is anything that's really been influencing you that's changed the way you've been doing comics, Colleen and Jordan, recently, to help develop your art styles?
That's a good one.
That's a good question. We're just not going to answer it.
I know. I feel really like I've been pretty much focusing on my film completely, that I feel pretty isolated from everything. Recently, the anthology Dave Roman,
Agnes Quill
came out, and I really like how many different artists can interpret the same story, the same idea. So I think that was interesting for me, and just mixing up styles and stuff like that.
I haven't seen it. I'll have to check it out. Maybe they'll have it at RX Comics. Where do you get that? You go to the comic shop, is it?
Yeah, because that's by our house.
Shop wherever you want. What comic stores you want? Actually, I'm not even supposed to specify comic stores. I'll get in trouble for saying to shop at one. Just shop
RX.
At the
RX. All right. RX.
Just shop RX. At the ones that are supporters of CITR.
And Lucky's.
Yeah, RX and Lucky's. Go see Gabe. Walk up the hill. It's good stuff. Got some good stuff by Anders Nilsson in there. I'm a big fan of his stuff. Is there anything that you wanted to put into the book but you couldn't, like creators that just...
There were a couple stories. With You Ain't No Dancer 2, I had actually meant to put it out earlier this year, but I had life stuff. You know, I had a baby earlier this year and a bunch of other stuff, and so that kind of came in the way. I had to push everything back. So there were a couple stories that I had originally planned on running. I was really wanted to run. And in the meantime, those people, I guess, got tired of just waiting around.
and they had them published elsewhere. So that I'm kind of bummed out about, that I didn't get to run them. But, you know, I can totally understand. I don't hold it against them or anything like that.
You'll be burning effigies of them later.
Not at all. One of the guys, in fact, was one of the guys who I talked about maybe publishing by him, something by him later on down the road, a bigger work. So
one day.
I still keep pretty good connections. Even people, like, I found that even people, like, I rejected from, say, the first one who's, I'd liked their stories or whatever, but just couldn't run it for whatever reason. Some of those guys have become close friends who I didn't know before that, you know, and
that's cool.
You know, because I try and be pretty cool with the feedback, not a jerk.
Well, you've been getting pretty involved in the whole convention tiering.
I don't know what you'd call it.
Well, going out to all the conventions and stuff. And is that kind of neat, meeting people that you have in the book?
It's
kind of... And kind of get that facial contact, or is it like you get really drunk and embarrass yourself in front of them?
I don't know. I think I'm losing my appetite for alcohol recently. I don't know what's been going on, because I haven't been able to get drunk at conventions. But, I don't know. I'm kind of really conventioned out, you know? Like, I really enjoy going to the conventions, but it's kind of disheartening at the same time, because you see people that you look up to. And, like, I was in line behind one creator at SPX, who I really enjoy. And I thought he was he's kind of a big name. Again, I'm not going to drop names, but he was talking about some freelance gig that he'd picked up, and about how if things kept on this sort of keel, he might be able to quit his day job.
Aww.
And it sort of bummed me out that, like, these comic guys who are very reputable, big names.
You'll find a lot of big, the only people that don't have day jobs are, like, the Jaime Hernandez, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty much common knowledge that Peter Bagg's wife owns a catering company.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's pictures. He did the whole sign for their deli and stuff.
Well, see, that's the thing that just sort of, that gets me down, that there's so little money out there. Like, I make more money working on other people's comics than I do on my own or publishing or anything like that. We were talking earlier, manga. And, you know, that's where the bulk, actually, of the money that I use now for publishing sort of comes from.
It's kind of beautiful that you do it for your love of comics, though.
Well, it's, and to keep myself busy.
Yeah.
You know, idle hands and everything, right? So,
stop you from working that bomb in your garage.
Well, no, it gets me away. Like, before, when I did You Ain't No Dancer 1, I was working my full-time day job, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and I was working a second job at a bookstore.
Really?
For 8 months to save up the money to do the first book.
And that's commitment.
That's love.
It's retarded.
That's love.
Love of comics in his heart.
It's not healthy.
Ed.
So, you know, that replaces that, but I don't know. There's a few people making a lot of money, and not
enough
people not making very much at all.
I think it's interesting, though, that I went to SPX, and I'd never been to a real convention before outside of Vancouver, and I was seeing just so much great stuff. It was incredible. I had to give up partway through, because I'd spent, I don't want to say how much I spent, because it's embarrassing, but I spent a ridiculous amount of money, and it was like, I could still spend tons more, but it's like, first off, I got to get it home, you know, on the plane in my suitcase, which was already bogged down with stacks of books. It's incredible. All these great talents. It's just like, I don't know, it's this slowly expanding world of comic interest. And it's neat because I'm totally prattling on, probably, but one thing someone said was interesting, it's like comics are still a little limited because something that people aren't really understanding how to read yet. Because it's, I don't know, it takes like a different mind frame, where people expect it to be a lot more juvenile than it is. So I don't know. But I digress. I just totally went on a tangent, didn't I?
That's right, tangent away.
Tangent away.
Your show.
I keep hearing that like the comics, there's more interest and they're selling more. But it's kind of weird because you hear that, but you don't really see it out there, you know. You hear that with the bookstores are carrying more comics. But if you walk up to Chapters, you know, they've got 4,000 manga books
and like about
6 graphic novels, you know.
Yeah. Well, and they're all from either Pantheon, Drawing Quarterly, or Fantagraphics.
Right.
And or Marvel.
Nothing wrong with like Drawing Quarterly or Fantagraphics. It's good that they're getting into stores. The book market is so much more, but you know, I kind of worry that it's like a passing fad with the book market, and that people are confusing manga sales maybe with graphic novel sales. And who knows, I could be way off base on this.
No, I don't think you're wrong. It's a lot of people think that like comics have made this big inroad in bookstores, but it's You know, it's manga. I don't know nothing about manga. You know, the only Japanese comics I have at home are the Tatsumi books from Drawn Quarterly and the Buddha books from Pantheon. That's it. You know, I maybe should be reading more Japanese comics.
But should. It's good stuff.
I know you guys are all fans of Japanese comics, aren't you?
Only in the last year for me.
Off and on. I think in like junior high, I was into several different ones that are super embarrassing now, but like.
Like what? You gotta tell us now.
No. But I don't know, I find them kind of gimmicky and just, I want something else. And I'm freaked out at how huge the contacts, if these people had contact lenses, you know, like how huge they would be. Just thinking about that kind of scares me. So I wish their style was
Jordan.
A little bit different.
More diverse?
Yeah. And I love stuff like there's this, I can't remember his name, but there's this one artist, he does Soil and Bambi's Pink Gun, and I really love his style.
Damn it, I can't remember either. I know who you're talking about.
So amazing. There are, like, of course, lots of wonderful artists, but I think the bulk of it, the stuff that the teenage crowd goes for, I find a little revolting.
Apparently the convention they had at SFU was just insane. Like, it was, they had, Sophia Books had, like, a concert lineup of people just, the incredible sales of manga. But you go to Comic Convention Vancouver and, well, go to the Comic Convention Vancouver this Sunday at Heritage Hall. Word is about to finish up the show here. Ink Studs. Any last comments? New Reliable Press, Ed Brisson, writer friends, Jordan Bouchon.
You know, in French that means bottle cap.
Jordan Bottle Cap.
But
and
it's Ukrainian.
It's Ukrainian.
Ukrainian bottle cap?
What has it got, like some kind of radiation poisoning or something? I guess that's not in the Ukraine. Where was that?
Yeah, that's Ukraine, Chernobyl.
Is it? Yeah. Look at that. Me and my bad jokes. Thank you all for coming out. Any last words about the con this weekend?
No. Just go check out newreliable.com.
newreliable.com.
You can buy books online.
Online?
On the
and
internet.
Don't forget crowncommission.com. Ed is a member of the Crown Commission. And Ink Studs are a member. Not a member, a client. I don't know what we are.
We let you park your stuff there,
yeah.
Basically.
We fill up space. This will be, of course, up there within the next week as soon as Brian gets it up. And other great interviews, check out Ralph Stedman, Chester Brown, Joe Sacco. Tons of great interviews. Take a listen. Ink Studs, CITR, 101.9 FM. I'm going to finish off with, what's the song I'm finishing off with?
French Guy.
French Guy, that's right. French Guy, French song. We have no idea what it is. Let's hope it's good. If not, I'll come back on the air and complain.
La voilà qui rentre dans le bistrot, ça fait une heure que t'attends. T'as déjà bu sept cafés, t'as des tics, des tremblements. À peine assise, elle te dit qu'elle peut pas rester longtemps. T'aurais préféré toute la nuit, elle partage pas tes sentiments. Tu lui fais des yeux de fan malade, elle regarde sa montre. Pendant que tu parles bip son portable, ça la gêne pas de t'interrompre. Une autre fille attend, seule au coin du comptoir. On lui a posé un lapin, t'es trop occupé pour la voir. Tu dévisages l'autre qui parle au téléphone très fort, t'as l'impression d'être invisible. Bah t'as pas tort. Elle raccroche faute de batterie, tu recommences à la pister. Elle te raconte sa vie, tu fais vachement bien le mec captivé. Elle est un peu mannequin, un peu actrice, un peu serveuse. Elle est un peu pédante, un peu égoïste, un peu allumeuse. Mais elle est jolie, t'aimerais la connaître bibliquement. Bibliquement, poésie, ça veut dire cabosser tout simplement. Au coin du bar, la fille au lapin s'ennuie. En y regardant de plus près, elle aussi, elle est jolie. Tu la trouverais adorable, et chose qui n'a plus de prix.
Elle coupe son portable quand elle est en bonne compagnie. C'est l'autre que tu convoites, tu te décides à conclure. Sa réponse est niette, elle rejette ta candidature. Elle avait oublié de te dire, elle a déjà un copain. Ça finit de t'anéantir, c'est le coup du lapin. Habillée pour l'hiver, t'as pris une belle veste. C'est plutôt une canadienne avec une doublure en cortex. La fille au lapin paye son verre, elle en a marre. Tu la remarques enfin lorsqu'elle quitte le bar. Trop tard.